You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Barrett Brooks played in the NFL as an offensive lineman from 1995 to 2006, finishing his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now an analyst for NBC Sports in Philadelphia and a friend of the program, the two-time Emmy Award winner, is with us on Grant and Danny. Barrett, good to talk to you again. Strange times, man. How you getting by in Philly with everything going on?
Man, just staying in the house like everybody else. Just staying in the house, not going anywhere. Put a little studio in my basement, and that's where I work now.
Yeah, we're all of a sudden like finding ourselves redesigning areas of our home to call offices.
All right. I'll tell you what. Exactly. I've done everything. I mean, I put in a floor already. I redid my garage. You name it. I've been doing and finding everything in my house. I redid a chair. I reupholstered and re-sanded it down. I mean, I did everything, man. I'm running out of stuff to do.
I know. I've been seeking out my wife looking for projects. Like, instead of running and hiding and pretending I was very busy, pretending to be on the phone, which I normally do, is there anything else? We should probably pull the weeds outside. Let's do that.
I've crushed the honeydew list, to say the least. Seriously. I've crushed it.
Seriously.
I love it. All right, so we got to find out about Ronald Darby. The Redskins signed him to a one-year, $4 million contract. You know, when I've heard his name the last couple of years, he's kind of been the butt of jokes in Philadelphia. What was so bad about his 3 years there? Is he as ineffective at this point as the fan base and the media kind of made it seem?
No, you know what? You got to take, you know, what we say as a grain of salt, because we want excellence since winning the Super Bowl. We think we're a Super Bowl team. So at the end of the day, you got a player that, you know, he's a world-class athlete. I mean, he's one of the fastest players I've seen play. He gets out in great change of direction, but he's 5'11", 195. And against bigger receivers, that's where he struggles. I mean, he was going to be right there to make the play, but if you're taller than him, just like Parker against Miami, he took advantage of his size and was able to outjump him. But when healthy, Ronald Darby is a really good player, and I think that's the biggest thing. He has not been healthy. For the past 3 years, there's always been something that will keep him out. He played great the Super Bowl year. In the playoffs, you know, he had a pick return, you know, kind of sealed the deal against Minnesota in the championship game. He can play this game very well when he's healthy. And I think that's the only thing. You guys got a great deal. I mean, the Eagles paid almost $9 million for him last year from what he did the year before that. So if you guys get 2018 Ronald Darby as opposed to 2019 Ronald Darby, you guys got a really great deal because this kid can play. I mean, he just, you know, lacks the size to compete against big receivers, but he's not going to get beat with, you know, and not be able to recover.
Is there one thing, and Barrett Brooks is with us from Philadelphia, talking to Ronald Darby and NFL here with us on Grant and Danny. Is there something he does well, or you have to hide him, Barrett? Thinking of like man coverage, or is he a zone corner? Is he a, you know, physical tackler? Is there something that he can't do that you kind of have to work around?
He is a bump and run corner. He's a man to man corner. I mean, he gets up in your face, but off the line, he's going to give the receiver a free release and then run with him. And if that's what you need, a guy to go just run with a guy and be stuck on him the whole time so he doesn't look open, you have the great guy. You have a great guy there. It's just those quarterbacks that really trust their arm and will throw at a target that's covered and allow his big receiver to take over. That's when you'll have the problem. And that's exactly what happens to Darby. He's going to cover a guy and plaster a guy. He's not going to look open. But if you trust a back shoulder throw to a big wide receiver, that's when he has some problems. You know, his change of direction is really good. His hips are fluid. He just can't compete. Well, I'm not going to say he can't compete, but he finds it hard to compete with bigger receivers that out-jump him, out-muscle him. And that, I mean, that's really his only flaw, that and staying healthy. He's a good corner, but, you know, our secondary in Philly gets pummeled all the time by the media. I mean, we have to. You know, you get with the product you're paying for. It wasn't what we were trying to pay for, and that's the problem. He didn't play up to the contract that he had last year, and that's because he was injured for the most part.
Barrett Brooks is with us, covers the Eagles for NBC Sports in Philly. Can you go into the injury history in more detail? I mean, he missed a lot of games. Looks like half the year basically in 17 and 18 and then five games last year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing going back. Even going, I mean, when we made the trade for him back in, I think it was 16. No, I mean, when we made the trade for him, we sent Matthews and they sent us a third round.
Yeah, right before 17, yep.
Yep, he was one of those guys that, you know, we had high hopes for him. I mean, he had been with Jim Schwartz. He understood that this guy could play. For 2 years, he almost played at a Pro Bowl level. He only missed three games out of those 2 years. So we thought we were, you know, really picking up a guy that that could really get things done. But it just so happens that I think Buffalo saw the injury play kind of in his you know, his back pocket, and he takes it out every once in a while, and he won't play just because he'll be injured. When he's on the field, he's a dynamite player, but he just gets hurt too often. And when he's, you know, lame like that, he can't perform at a high level. He's a speed guy. He's a fast guy. He uses natural ability, and he can run with anybody in the league. It's just when he's healthy, that's when he's at his best. But he hasn't been healthy the past 3 years.
I want to go into what you guys did talking about the Eagles here, Barrett. I love Darius Slay. I think the industry, I think the league somehow got it wrong because Detroit gives up a million passing yards. I think that dude can still play. I like the Eagles offseason, which, you know, usually scares me. It's like the kiss of death. If I approve of something, it means you're probably going 3-13. But the Eagles, to me, look poised to be really, really good next year. We can get to Carson Wentz as well. But that offseason, how are Eagles fans treating it?
Well, you know what? Everybody's, you know, we're talking about Philly. And you know we're never satisfied. But the fact that we got Slay for, you know, a song and a dance, I mean, it's incredible how we was able to engineer that trade. Darius Slay is a good player, and all you have to do is just look at the games in which he played against Carson. He's dominated Carson. He's had a pick in every game he played against him. He understands how to be a shutdown corner. He didn't have a pass rush in Detroit like he's going to have here in Philly. And that's where the Eagles, you know, everybody's talking about all what they did with Hargrave. I mean, I thought it was a great pick. Now you have somebody opposite of Fletcher Cox. Now you can move Malik Jackson to the outside where he can be a punishing pass rusher as opposed to a speed guy. Forget the speed guy. Have somebody out there who's going to run a tackle over. Now you compress that pocket. And with those two guys in the middle, they can really make some hay now pushing right up the middle of that defense. So now where does a quarterback go? They now have somebody on the inside, opposite Fletcher Cox, that will really put some pressure. He's explosive. He was in a two-gap system in Pittsburgh, but if you watch on passing downs, he was able to create a lot of havoc in the middle of it. And that's the closest place to a quarterback is right there in the one technique. So I think Howie understood that Schwartz needed guys to put some pressure on the quarterback, and now on the tail end, picking up Roby and Slay, I think they're going in the right direction. I knew they were going to go defense in free agency because they had to have guys to play now. But in the draft, they go out and get a big-time receiver, somebody that can grow up with Carson. I think they're going about in the right direction.
Barrett, I want to go to Carson Wentz for a second, who you just mentioned. He's excellent, in my opinion, and he does not get the credit he deserves in Philadelphia at all. You know, people look at last year, and like with a month left in the season, they're killing the guy, and they're talking about – maybe he's not the QB, and we want Nick Foles. He's throwing to a dude who played quarterback in college and a couple of him and Eggers they signed off the street. He had 27 touchdowns, 7 picks, and 4,000 yards. I just don't understand what he's got to do to impress that fan base. I look at last year as an incredible season for him. I really do.
Well, when you look at what he was handed, I mean, you're right. I mean, he had three guys on practice squad end up being his number ones in the offense. I mean, if you look – come on now. You got Ward Jr. from Houston.
Right, Greg Ward, the quarterback from Houston.
And he was able to make him a major player. I mean, the fact that he had guys that were on the practice squad boosted him up and made them better players in an offense where he did not have – he had one receiver. There were times we had two receivers on a 45-man roster on game day that he hadn't thrown a pass to the entire season. And he was able to win the last four games. Say what you want to say. He engineered an offense with Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, and then a bunch of guys. And was able to win in the division. Even though it was a bad division, he was able to win in that division. Man, I don't care what you say. At this point, if you have NFL players out there, they are still the cream of the crop. But the fact that he had guys out there that didn't even have name tags on the back of their game jersey because they never got in the game and was able to win, man, that's a tremendous feat to me. I like Carson. I like what he brings to the table, but we have to get guys around him to play. Now, everybody's downplaying Alshon. Alshon is perfect for this offense. I don't know what happened in the locker room, but, hey, that's water off a bridge at this point. Let this guy play. Now you have the rookie coming in, whoever's going to get in the first round. You have D-Jax on the outside. You have Goddard, and you have Ertz. That's not like a pretty good offense to me. And then you now have a proven running back in Sanders. I think Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson are going in the right direction. I think they're really putting in the pieces that they need to win and win now. And I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to win now. They're trying to downplay it, but they're trying to win now.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me, and that's what scares me so much here in Washington. Barrett, this was awesome, buddy. Always appreciate it, dude. Stay safe out there, okay?
You guys too, man. Have a good one, all right?
All right, pal.
Thank you, Barrett. There's Barrett Brooks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, covers the Eagles. Good insight on the Redskins' new corner. It makes me feel a little bit better, honestly, about Ronald Darby. Which
worth a shot on a 1 year, man.
Wasn't necessarily the goal of the segment, but I will certainly take it. The goal of the segment was to see what he thought about him. And here we are, feeling a little better on the back end. I like that. Next, the news just came down at the top of the hour. Maryland is being shut down as of 8 o'clock tonight by the governor, Larry Hogan, who was on the Junkies this past week. Let's react to that. Many of our listeners are in Maryland. What does this mean for them and for you guys? If you want a place to react live, you could do that at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
If we have made a real difference, and I want to thank the vast majority of Marylanders who have really listened. They have stayed home. They are avoiding crowds. And look, this is very disruptive to people's lives, and it's very difficult. But I can promise you it really is helping, and it's helping to stop spread of the virus, which is why we had to close the schools. It's why we had to close some of these businesses. But if you look out in the streets, you know, people are really listening to that. And it's making a difference. But we just have some, you know, knuckleheads that are out there, you know, still gathering, doing crazy things. And that's what we're trying to stop, because they're actually, this is no joke. I mean, they really are endangering themselves and their friends and their family by continuing to be out there helping to spread this virus, which is killing people.
That was the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, when he joined the Junkies right here on 106.7 The Fan about a week ago. Things have changed considerably since, obviously. Hogan today announcing a stay-at-home order for Maryland as of 8 p.m. tonight. It's going to go into effect. Now, I would say the majority of our listeners are in Virginia. Many of you are also in D.C., but a great many of you are in Maryland and are directly affected by this. So we will open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, to get your thoughts on how this will affect you. Danny, I had some questions, so I just pulled up exactly what this order means, and I can kind of go through it. We can react here if you want.
Please, yeah.
The first bullet point here. Basically, this is when you're allowed to leave your home. Obtaining necessary supplies or services for oneself, family, household members, pets, livestock, including without limitation if you're going to get groceries for household consumption or use, supplies and equipment needed to work from home, a laundry, and products needed to maintain safety, sanitation, and essential maintenance of the home or residence. So pretty much anything you've got to get done around your house, anything involving you, your family, you know, food and clothes and things that, your basics, you are allowed to still go and do those things.
That, yeah, I don't know how you restrict that. I mean, Russia's doing that. Basically, they're like saying no one's allowed to leave.
Right.
But I don't know how you could do that here logistically.
Engaging in activities essential for the health and safety of oneself, family, household members, pets, or livestock, including such things as seeking medical or behavior health or emergency services, obtaining medication or medical supplies. That goes without saying. Mm-hmm. You need your pills from CVS. You know, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the MinuteClinic, something like that. You can do that. What about, like, going and getting food? I understand groceries, right?
Yep.
But for people that are just like, McDonald's are still open, Burger King's are still open. What about going to Chipotle and picking up Chipotle? Is that on this list, do you think?
I don't know.
It doesn't say anything about, like, going and get – it says groceries. You know, it's basically going to the store to make yourself food. But will all those places, I wonder, in Maryland just close down now? Or can you still go do that like you've been doing, where you order your Chipotle app, you go pick up your burrito, you go through the drive-through at McDonald's, you don't get out of your car, you're not within 6 feet of anyone? Is that all off the table now too?
Again, I don't know. That's an interesting question, because all I'm seeing constantly, whether it's from Seamless, Delivery.com, I've got a buddy, and I'm going back and forth to get the details on the endeavor, but it's to help local businesses, local restaurant groups, like Georgetown Events, our buddy Bo Blair. They have a bunch of spots in and around there on the bullpen and places like that. They're trying to ramp up this effort to feed the healthcare workers, right, who are right here on the front lines of this thing, putting themselves at risk to make us all safe. And you still want to support that, right? I still want to go and support Jetty's right near me, and I want to grab a sandwich for dinner. Am I allowed to do that if I'm in Maryland? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, DoorDash, Grubhub, all those apps, Uber Eats. I'm wondering if those people, they're working, so I would think they are still, that's essential, so to speak. But then is the industry considered that if, in other words, we're saying, well, you can go buy your groceries and cook. I wonder if all those things are still on the table. If you have any intel on that, you can hit us up 800-636-1067. So then continuing here, caring for a family member, friend, pet, or livestock in another household or location, including without limitation, transporting a family member, friend, pet, livestock, animal, essential health, safety activities to obtain necessary supplies. So if you're leaving to go help someone that can't help themselves, you're good. Traveling to and from an educational institution for purposes of receiving meals or instructional materials for distance learning. So these are the young people and the families that are either teaching at home and need to get what they need to educate their kids, and or that are they're being fed by the local programs at schools.
Right.
Engaging in outdoor exercise. This is a big one, because I saw a bunch of people right away asking, well, wait a second. If I'm getting a misdemeanor when I leave my house for anything that isn't essential, what about, just going on a walk, which is what everyone's kind of doing right now. If you walk around your neighborhoods, you see more people than you've ever seen, and people you didn't even know lived in your neighborhood, all kind of keeping their distance but going on walks. You are allowed to do that. Engaging in outdoor exercise activities such as walking, hiking, running, or biking, but only in a compliance with paragraph 3 below and applicable, meaning social distances, keeping within 6 feet from away from people, and then no more than 10 people at a time. And then lastly, travel required by law enforcement officer or a court order. If you've got to be in court or go do something like that, I don't know if those things are still happening, but that would still be deemed, obviously, essential. I mean, look, I'd like to say that the states don't need to do this, and I'd like to think that they don't have to do this, but it's pretty obvious. Just this weekend in Maryland, there was a guy arrested for breaking an order where he hosted a bonfire party, and like 60 people came to his house. And he legitimately got arrested for it.
Yeah, and good, honestly. And maybe all 60 of those folks had nothing, and it was no harm, no foul. It doesn't mean it's the correct process. We should always be doing the correct thing. Do our best to do the right thing. Too many people do it right to tolerate people that do it wrong. Now, I don't think that guy should go to jail for as long as the dude that was licking grocery items in Maryland, I think, not that long ago. That dude needs to be behind bars for a while to think about what he's done. And then think about more what he should have done and then shouldn't have done. He needs to be in jail for a long time. The dude who came from New York to West Palm Beach waiting for the test, jail. The dude who held the bonfire, hey, that's a mistake. Please don't do that, even if everything is A-okay. But, yeah, I mean, it's
you're not throwing him in jail, the bonfire guy?
No, he's going to jail, but for not as long as the licking guy. Licking guy is my one seed. Flight to from New York to West Palm Beach to our gate.
Licking
West
guy,
Palm.
Are we thinking years for the licking guy?
Years for licking. Years.
I also want jail time for people that are purposefully going around coughing on things in the grocery store.
Yeah, that
to
guy.
Try to prove some point that, like, there's nothing wrong and everyone will be okay.
Coughing
whatever they're trying to accomplish, that guy should sit in the jail cell next to the guy who flew to New York.
Let's say there's no pandemic. Please don't cough on things in grocery stores. Jail for you. You see what I'm saying? Let's say there's no COVID-19. If you go around trying to do something where you cough on things, I have a place for you. It's got bars, and you'll get 3 squares a day and a phone call. Go there and stay there for a long time.
Team on Twitter is answering my question. He says he's been in Michigan, and they've had a stay-at-home order for the last week. He said he's still able to go pick up lunch. He said he went and picked up Potbelly.
Gotcha.
Carry out only. He said it shouldn't affect Craven, Chipotle, or any other fast food. So for people that are eating fast food, Chipotle, I just wonder, because you got a lot of young people who make fun of them if you want to, but they don't cook for themselves.
I didn't for 15 years. Yeah.
And a lot of them just don't have the skills to cook a whole lot. I mean, you can make basic things, but I'm trying to think about the easiest way possible to prevent them from doing dumb things that they shouldn't, and to be able to have those foods dropped off at their door, or be able to go to fast food places and pick up. I think that you could probably, you know, still have those things happening. So honestly, it doesn't, for those of us that have been following the rules, it doesn't seem like it's that different then,
no.
Really.
No, it's just
in terms of the stay-at-home order,
right,
versus what we've been doing as a social distancing society. Maybe the difference being what? Just that you can now be charged with a misdemeanor if you break the rule?
It goes from recommendation. It goes from, hey, please help us out, to you have to do this.
What about this one? And you live in D.C. and I live in Virginia, so for just the sake of everyone listening's information, I mean, neither of us are directly affected by the Maryland ruling, but I'm guessing – Tom told me Northam has a press conference at 2 today. If Maryland does something, it probably won't be long before Virginia and D.C. But, like, so I'm trying to move, and I've got all this stuff I'm doing around my house, and I just yesterday bought a storage unit in Lorton where I am going to be trying to take a bunch of my stuff because we're taking pictures and putting the house for sale and having, you know, appointments and stuff like that. Am I still allowed to drive to that storage unit with stuff in the back of a truck and unload it in the storage unit?
Great question. Great question. I don't know. I mean, it's essential to you. It's very important to you, right? But is it essential to me, but I don't know if it's essential. Would that be deemed as essential? I don't know. Is that one of those things that could possibly wait for another 10 days, 2 weeks,
so
a month?
Maybe I should leave the show now and get that done before 2 o'clock is what you're telling me?
I have no idea. It's above my pay grade. I'm just here at home, man. I'm just watching Tiger King in my spare time.
What do you guys think? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Our listeners in Maryland, the shutdown dictated from the governor starts at 8 p.m. tonight. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. At 11:45, in about 10 minutes, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And 1 hour from then, the Grant and Danny Movie Club returns over the weekend. The assignment was Tiger King. 7 episodes, about 6 hours of insanity, and, well, just a story that's really hard to believe that it happened right here in America. But it is right now, as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, an opportunity for you to hit the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We are asking you guys for your reaction to the news that Maryland's going to be officially shut down as of 8 p.m. tonight by the governor. Larry Hogan was on with the Junks last week. Kind of sounds like more of the same if you've been following the rules, but just now penalties for the people who are not. Let's go to line 2. I believe Vic is in Alexandria. What's up, Victor? How are you?
Hey there, Greg and Dave. How are you doing on Day of Maryland Emergency Declaration Day?
Day.
So this is 49 going on 79, Victor, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is. It is. And you'll have an opportunity ahead to make another joke like that when I tell you why I'm calling.
All right.
I called y'all about Grant's potential move in Virginia, and just wanted to let y'all know that I actually did an entire apartment move just last Thursday.
Oh.
And I was concerned because I'd set the date up, you know, weeks in advance, not knowing where we were going to be on the 26th of March. And I called the moving company on the 25th, and they hadn't given me any notice of cancellation or anything like that. And they told me that their business is considered to be transportation, and that's considered to be an essential service, and so it wasn't covered by the at least the emergency order that was in place at that time. Obviously, you know, that could change, but as a general rule, moving, what they said was moving furniture. So it's still moving, it's transportation, and that's what they said.
Wow. This is promising then, Victor, for my cause, obviously, as someone who's trying to get.
Right.
So the timing is not great here. Basically, my house is officially going on the market. It's, like, listed as coming soon in, like, real estate agent, like, folders, wherever they are on the internet that they can see. But, like, it's going on the market officially sometime around, I think, a week from probably today. So, like,
Okay.
You can't ask for a worse time than I have chosen to do this.
Well, right. My old department is going on the market. I'm handing over the keys tomorrow, the 31st, and my landlord said he wanted to be on the market by the middle of April, but he said, you know, nobody's going to be doing tours. You know,
nobody's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants, you know, Reagan's germs all over them, you know? I mean, in this environment.
Correct. That's the problem. I mean, there's going to be no open houses. They've basically gotten rid of those. Everything's done by appointment.
Right.
You leave all the lights on so no one has to touch light switches. Theoretically, they don't have to touch anything. They just, you know, you put the booties on, you walk through the house. That's kind of what the thought is. But look, there's a great chance in 6 weeks I'm sitting here and I still haven't been able to do anything, and we're not even allowed to put it on the market.
That's very likely. It's just the market's just going to be so flat.
Thanks, Victor. But I appreciate
thank you,
that.
Victor.
Very good news from my pal.
That is awesome.
He said. I basically said, look, there's a chance this is going to be a debacle. I've got great anxiety. It's going to work out really poorly, and I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. And he goes, yes, Grant, that is very likely. That's how I responded to that.
Yeah, that's the most likely scenario. I've spun the wheel many times. That's the prediction machine tells you that.
Thanks, Vic. Much appreciated, pal. I haven't heard from him in a while. For people that don't remember, Vic, we originally met Victor. I believe he came and he brought me some type of food I didn't eat before. Was it cornbread,
if memory serves.
At a sports bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we kind of bonded with him, and we became buddies with him, and we thought he was like 85 years old. And it turned out that he was actually only about 48 or something like that.
He was like younger than all the junkies.
Right. And we couldn't believe, I mean, he literally looked 100.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, this can't be true. So he had to send us a picture. He didn't have to, but he did. He sent us a picture of his driver's license to prove his age, and he was about 40 years younger than he looked.
I've never seen a guy
that looks older who is younger than he does.
He also sent videos of himself boxing and challenged you to a match, and we had to basically figure out who would win that match. This was pre-EMP 180, Grant. And it was basically like, how do we strategize this thing, or how could we handicap this thing with Victor, who has the punching power of, I don't know. not a lot of punching power is what I would say.
Finish that.
I didn't have a good analogy. I couldn't think of anything with very little punching power. But it was basically someone that's not going to hit you terribly hard, but cardiovascularly, with all due respect to my co-host, probably more advanced than you were in terms of being able to kind of continue doing the motions. So we were saying, like, is Grant going to fall down from exhaustion? Like, what would happen there? And your point was basically all it would take was for you to connect one time.
I need to hit him once.
Yeah, a la Tyson in the 80s. I mean, it was a fascinating hypothetical, which, of course, could never happen. We are not going to sanction a boxing match.
He would outlast me for sure. But, yeah. I mean, like,
he could dance, you know, there's certain
– I hate that this happens because every time he calls in, we just joke.
We're just bashing the poor guy.
We love Victor. I mean, he's a great guy, and I'm a big fan of his. But yeah, like watching him box in his little jab sessions, you know, he does not have knockout power. That's the way I would phrase it.
Thank you. To be kind, yes.
He is Tyson Fury. You know, he's big and he's technical, but he doesn't have KO power, so to speak. So unless I wear a 40-some-pound costume out to the ring and don't have any legs and get destroyed, I still kind of like my chances, but he is way, way more equipped to go deep. Like, if he's going to have a 7th, 8th, 9th round in this fight, he's going to own those rounds. I'll be spent. I basically have to just go after him and try to end it in the first minute and a half.
You got
to
go.
That's kind of my goal.
Yeah. You just come around arms waving. Just go so as fast as you can, burn out like a star almost instantly. And if it gets past that, I think you might be cooked.
You'll know after the first round if I'm losing the fight. Because if it's still going, I'm probably losing. But I'm giving everything I got in that first round.
But I thought it would be way more even if this was heavier Grant. Like, again, pre-EMP 180 Grant against that Victor, I think is the more intriguing matchup.
You think this now matchup, I'm heavily favored?
You'd be heavily favored in this one. What did you lose, 60 pounds?
More. But my endurance is not like that different, I don't think. In other words, I'm certainly lighter and less fat. I'm not in much better shape. Also, the last 2 weeks of this quarantine, it's a whole different ballgame. Like, I'm now out of breath coming up steps again. You know
what
I mean?
I mean, nobody's training. No one's training right now. Victor's moving.
Yeah, that's true. Victor and if we set the fight for this month, I don't know if Vegas would even know what to put the odds on. They'd be
how would
confused.
You do that? It could be longer than 3 rounds.
Our double play is next at noon, your Beltway Blitz right here on the Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back. 106.7 The Fan. We are with you until 2 o'clock. Chad Dukes versus the world at that time. Junkies get the day started each and every day at 6 a.m. right here on The Fan. And the lineup has not changed and will not change. And we're going to keep pushing forward. By the way, I had the privilege of working with Eric Bickle this weekend. I know you and Pete did a show as well.
That's
which
right,
is cool.
Yes.
On Sundays, so Danny and I have different shows that we're doing now. Me from 9 to noon and Danny from noon to 3. I'm curious, though, is that an every Sunday thing, do we know? EB was acting like that was a one-time deal the entire time. He was like, yeah, this was fun, man. Well, who knows when we'll work together again. And I'm thinking, I kind of thought that email made it seem like it was every Sunday.
Yeah, until, who knows, man. I will just show up when I'm told. I will plug the machine in when I'm told, and I'll just keep connecting on line 5 pretty much when they say to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I saw that email too, and that's the way I thought about it. But if it goes away this coming weekend, so be it.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was a lot of fun. Those podcasts are still available on the 24hourradio.com rewind
episode of
function.
106.7 The Fan partner swap. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun to do a little bit of a mess like that. Yeah.
Well, I wondered if CK was going to kind of just put names in a blender and each week two of us work together randomly, like next week you and Chad and me and JP, or you know how that would work, or if he's just kind of assigning tandems based on schedules and availability and how flexible people are. But yeah, I think it is kind of cool for the audience to hear that mix and a mismatch of personalities, because I just know as a longtime listener to the radio back in the day when they used to do things like Dysfunctional Family Friday and some of the different things where you could actually hear hosts interact that typically wouldn't, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because again, think about this. Like, everyone assumes that we're all – not everyone assumes, but I get the feeling sometimes people just think the studio is there and everyone all day long is just sort of around and we see each other. When was the last time you think Chad saw a junkie? He's there hours and hours and hours after they've all just
yeah,
completely
true.
Vanished. You know what I mean? So it is neat, you're right, when there's that kind of interaction.
It is time for our double play. 1 hour ahead from the Grant and Danny Movie Club, where today we will be analyzing – Tiger King and getting ready to assign a new movie for tonight for the G&D Movie Club. Next hour, by the way, what are we missing in D.C. sports in our little bubble in the world with the lack of games now for 19 days? But let's get to our double play. What's going on? Nothing to do with sports.
I can go, my friend, if you'd like.
Why not?
Let's do it together. Danny Ruye, Netflix show review time. Now, I wasn't able to complete Tiger King. I've got through 4 episodes of that. We will get to that for the movie club, but good heavens, what is going on? But I will give you a show that I do recommend. Grant, you know me. We've got to know each other pretty well. I think racing is stupid. I've never enjoyed it. I'll never watch it on television. I've been to a live race. That's something sports fans should do because that's a cool, unique experience. I'm not going to follow racing ever. I think it's a great big waste of time. I think it's outdated, archaic, and dumb. That said, this is continuing in the series of subject matter that I wouldn't think I'd care about, but still riveting, excellent entertainment. In the wake of Cheer, which, by the way, phenomenal program. Everyone should watch it. It's excellent. Xavier Machismo, like, I don't give a damn about cheerleading. I don't either. The show is incredible. Season 2 of F1, Formula One Racing, Drive to Survive. This show is wonderful. Again, I don't care about Formula One. I'll never look up standings. I'll never watch a race. The footage they get, the access they get, the incredible drama of millions and millions of dollars being spent to shave off a tenth of a second on a lap in these cities turn courses. There's a race in the United States, in Austin, Texas. They go to these incredible locations all around the world, this traveling band, and they bring these massive portable headquarters, and everything is technology driven and science driven, and sometimes all the preparation goes to naught because in the first turn, two wheels rub, a car explodes, boom goes the dynamite. There is real drama, and it is fantastic. So the infighting, and this is the thing that's the best that they do, GP, that I kind of wish would happen in the U.S., but it I don't know that it'd be logistical just the way our or it would make sense the way that our sports culture is developed. But if a bunch of teams are involved in something, they all have to do the press conference in the same spot. So, like, when one driver leaves one team to go to another team, and it's always these kind of soap operas and backstabbing and kind of this weird world, the driver that was on one team that went to the other team is up there. Both teams are up there. Why did you leave that team? I didn't think they were professional enough. And, like, they're sitting right there dealing with these insults and slings and arrows and stuff. It is riveting television. I'm almost through season number two. Episodes are about 40 minutes, total of about 16, 17. I'm not sure exactly the total number, GP. But I think you would really, really enjoy it. Again, I don't care about racing. I think it's dumb. This F1 show on Netflix is excellent. I give it an 8.5 out of 10 carbohydrates.
Wow. What is your preferred length of a TV show? Do you like the half hour or the hour long streamable shows? And then how about seasons? Like, for me, my wheelhouse now is the 8 to 10 episodes of kind of a 1 hour episode at a time seasons. But I started, there was one show that I watched that was, I think it's called Friends from College or something like that. It's Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't hear great things about that, so I never started that one.
Yeah, I liked it a little bit. It had a couple seasons. I watched it and laughed. It was fun. It was nothingness. I mean, it was just a, you know, this was months ago I watched this. But it was 25-minute episodes, and I got into that huge because you could just bang out two or three and feel like you were getting a lot of meat off the bone. But I'm kind of now in the mode of liking, like Tiger King was, 7 episodes.
Yep.
Theoretically an hour long, but they're actually, some of them are like 47 minutes, you know, 45, 55 minutes, something like that. That's kind of where I'm at now with my shows.
You're a less content guy, and I've never quite gotten that. Like, for me, if I like something, I've never said, no, I've had enough of that, right? Like, then it means I just think it's okay, right? Some shows, the run of the show should only be 5, 6 episodes, 7 episodes. Like, Don't Bleep with Cats, that was a good length, right? That was only 3 episodes, but I thought that was appropriate given kind of they were just following this one mystery. Other shows, for example, Stranger Things, one of the best things Netflix has ever produced, I never watched an episode and went, man, I wish that was shorter. You know what I mean? So I understand your point, but generally I think if you earn more, like if you earn more episodes like Narcos to me, please make thousands of those. Please never stop making that program, right? I'll watch every time that group of people puts out a show, I will watch it the day it comes out, and I will fly through it because it's incredible content. They're so good at that formula, right? But for a different show, like Mindhunter, which is good, it's about the FBI setting up kind of a psych
profile
unit. Yeah,
I watched
unit,
season right? plus of that.
I like Mindhunter. I didn't need, you know, a 20-episode season. You know what I mean? Like, I it was the right amount. It was the right dosage for me. So I think it all depends on the show.
It is time for my double play. By the way, I got an update here. A guy tweeted me who actually now lives in Indiana. He said, but his house is on the market because he's moving to Nebraska. He said he's still been showing. Now, I think the Midwest, different parts of the country are probably in different spots in terms of COVID-19. But he said basically he still has people coming through to see his house all the time. He wipes everything down before and after. And when they're in the house, he just goes and sits in his car. So I guess there's a possibility of keeping the train on the tracks.
Okay.
My double play really quickly. Everything that's happening seems bad. You know, everyone's inconvenienced and this is tough and people are losing their lives and it's awful. So I just put together a really quick list of things that are good so far that have happened during the coronavirus. Are you ready? This is for me personally.
Go shoot.
These are like positives. Mm-hmm. Number one, I got to see the baby take her first steps.
Nice.
Wouldn't have probably been home otherwise. Number two, I'm talking to my parents more often via video calls. Number three, I'm not able to drive anywhere, so I'm not going to go over my lease. I was going to pummel the leasing miles, and that's not going to happen anymore. Number four, I'm not going out to eat, so I'm actually saving some money on, like, eating in restaurants. You know how you and I like to go out to nice restaurants?
Love it so much.
Number five, I'm getting a lot of household tasks done. Just in the last 2 days, we've painted the walls and the bathrooms and stuff. So those are the good things so far. I'm just trying to stay positive here, Danny.
No, it's well done. I mean, the first steps thing, by the way, phenomenal. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. That is really, really cool, dude.
Yeah, it's been great in that regard. Next on Grant and Danny, our Beltway Blitz right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.